Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we do thank you for taking your time out of this day to share a word with us. Amen.
Amen.
It is good when brothers and sisters come together in unity and in one spirit. We do thank you.
Amen.
As we move forward, We like to let you know that the message that you hear tonight or any message that you hear, you can go into the archive. And in order to do that, you go into Blog Talk Radio, type in We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up any of the archives and even share the message. We have a speaker that's going to be coming on, which I'm excited to hear. Amen. A close brother, amen, who's strong in the Lord, Bishop Larry Palmer from out of Waldorf, Maryland. Amen. And we're anxious to hear what God has placed on his heart. Amen. Even taking the time to just share the word of God. Amen. I am just so blessed that the last 3 weeks we've had those who hail from Princeton, West Virginia, that's come on to share the gospel. Amen. I just believe it's a blessing, amen, for those who choose, you know, to walk and share the good news. That is a blessing to not only where I come from, but also it just shows what Princeton, West Virginia was made of. Amen.
Yeah.
It produced, amen, godly men and women. And I just like to say that over the air. Amen. As we move forward, we're going to move over to Waldorf, Maryland, and the next voice that you hear will be Bishop Larry Palmer. Father, we thank you for this word that's coming forth. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would all be on one accord. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would bless the man that comes before us, Heavenly Father, to hear a word of God. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you bless the words that he is going to speak and let it be pleasing to our ears as well as you. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you for all that you do, all that you're going to do. We give you honor, glory, and praise. Amen, amen, amen. We also have a praise report, and also we are still praying for the Tidwell family. We're still praying for her mother, Tidwell, who has been on our prayer list. We are praying for her as well as Keisha and a host of others. Amen. And we just let you know, for those of you listening, that we continue to pray over and over and over again. Amen. Until we hear a praise report. Amen. We're going to move over again. The next voice you hear is going to be Bishop Larry Palmer. Amen. Bishop Palmer, are you there?
I am. I am. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you again for taking time out to come and share a word with us this evening.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure. Thank you so much to Drs. Clay, both John and Suzanne. Amen. Congratulations on your doctorate there. Elder Clay, it's wonderful to be part of the body and to be around those who strive for excellence. And again, it's great to be on the blog. It's been a while since I have been here. And I've been promising my great friend, a childhood friend, Clay's, that I was going to come back on and be a blessing, I pray, to the body of Christ and those who have an ear to hear what the Lord has to say on tonight. I just believe that God is doing a great thing. In the midst of all we seem to be going through with COVID-19, with racism, with the political testament upside down, with not knowing who to put your name beside the X and all of this type of stuff, I just think it is the plan of God, and we just have to learn how to get in the midst of it. So I thank God for you. I thank God for you being on the air tonight, and thank you again, my dear friend, Elder John, for allowing me to come on, and Suzanne as well. So I want to get started into what we have tonight. Our subject tonight is the process of reaching your destiny, the process of reaching your destiny. We have become, I'm talking about those who love the Lord, we have become a little on the cancel side, if you will, canceling our faith and becoming so entrenched with what we are faced with. We become to the point where we are starting to side with those things that are not the faith of God. So we want to talk about our destiny and to let you know and to kind of reel you back in, I pray, tonight, to to let you know that God is still in charge. He is still the Lord. He is still our Alpha and Omega. He is still our bright and morning star. He is still our Savior and our Lord, even in the midst of everything we seem to be going through. Elder Clay has prayed, so I'm going to collect that prayer, and I'm going to move on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I love the feedback, so just give me a little bit. I don't know. Is Bishop Storrs on the airways tonight? Just give me a hallelujah if you're there from West Virginia, Bishop Storrs.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bless you. And my son out of New Jersey, are you on? I want to make sure that they're there.
Yeah, Dad, I'm here.
God bless you. Well, I thank God for those who are considering being part of what we do here. We're looking to continue to advance the kingdom of God. I'll start with just a short testimony. I'm going to make it as short as I possibly can. It has to do with being obedient to God, and it has to do with knowing that God has sent you on a journey, and we have to tune our GPS into that God has for us to do without taking detours. We know that when we tune in our GPS, we don't know where to go. We don't know the directions. We're tuning our GPS in our cars or on our phone, and it starts to give us a GPS. It'll tell us how far it is. It'll tell us what time you're going to get there. It'll tell you the roads and the avenues to take. Some of you use Waze to avoid the traffic, to try to avoid the law of the land, which is the speed limit. We do all manner of things, and I want to let you know those are mechanical things, but when God, the God positioning system, when he drops it on you, we have to follow it without taking detours. Somebody say amen. So
amen.
We got to put our minds into locking in on what God has for us to do. It was only a week or two ago, not even that, I think. I took a trip at 4 o'clock in the morning from my home, and I was awakened by God to go to a funeral in West Virginia, and I did. And Bishop Storrs was presiding over that funeral for one of our home girls, Kathy Swanson, Evelyn Swanson. And I went there and arrived there, and I went through the funeral. It was about a 5.5-hour drive, 5 hours, something like that. And I did go, and I told my wife, I woke up and I said, I'm going to go to this funeral. The Lord is laying on my heart. She said, baby, okay, go ahead, and blah, blah, blah. She's such a soldier. And so I went to the funeral, and I got to West Virginia, and I was a little tired. The funeral wasn't until 1 o'clock, I think. And they got started, got out on time, got out done, and maybe about 2-ish, went to the repast in one of the older churches in Princeton, West Virginia, Mount Calvary Baptist Church. And I saw and talked to several friends there, and it was good. And I had the mind that I was going to stay overnight and then go back in the morning, which was really justifiable after you've taken a 5-hour trip, nearly 350 miles or so to get there. And I had another voice from God to drop in my spirit to say, go home. I said, oh, man, I'm kind of tired. You know, I left 4 o'clock in the morning. Now it's 6 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm 16 hours into the day, and the Lord has asked me to drive another 5 hours back home. And so I got in the car, and I said, okay, I'm going to just drive 100 miles or so. I'll stop and get out. I'll make myself do it. And then I'll drive another 100 miles, and I get out and make myself do it. And that was my plan, but it surely wasn't the Lord. So I drove back home, went and had something to eat with my brother Clem, who was very sick, and pray for him. Thank you so much for praying for him. But I had dinner with him, and then we departed ways. And he went to 64 East, and I kept 84 North, or 81 North, up towards D.C. Long story short, I got back home about 10:30. Everything was fine. And I went to bed, as I normally do, about 11:30 or so. And I woke up the next morning after my wife and I had had conversation, and I normally come downstairs to pray in my office here. And this particular time, the Lord said, well, wake your wife up. Now, I've been obedient to the Lord throughout the days, and I said, okay, whatever it is that we have conversation, maybe she wants to tell me something that happened between the time I left and the time I was here. So I reached over and touched my wife, and she was very cold and clammy. And so I said, well, maybe she's having a moment, maybe a personal summer or something. And so I shook her. I said, babe, I'm going downstairs and pray. And she was non-responsive, which was very unusual. And so I shook her a little more, and she was totally non-responsive. So I jumped out of bed and I ran around to the side, and I shook her, and I picked her up in my arms. And when I did, her arms fell back to the bed, and I knew that she was in trouble. So I called 911, and the emergency team seemed like they was moving in slow motion. And they came, and then they advanced once they saw her condition, and they did all the things to do to begin to revive her. And I was already tired, and, you know, I was a little shaken, and not a whole lot shaken. Let me just be real. I was a whole lot shaken, and they were able to get her back because her blood sugar level had dropped down below 30. And many of those who were in diabetic condition, that's in a comatose stage. And so I was very concerned that she was going to have brain damage after being there. I didn't know how long after sleeping right beside my wife that had done. And I was feeling so out of sorts. What could I have done? It's nothing. I felt so helpless with all the power that God had given us and all the energy that God had, and praying. And I was trying to pray, and I'm trying to pray, and I start praying in the spirit, in my own spirit, and walking around the room and doing all manner of things, and they were still working on her and trying to get her to come back, gave her shots, and then they were trying to find a vein, give her some liquid glucose to get her levels back up as soon as they possibly could. And finally, she started coming around, and they said, could you come over here? And if you talk to her, she'll come back. If you talk to her, she'll come back. And they just kept saying that. In the meantime, let me tell you what happened to really just drop my spirit. As they were coming, I was talking to the 911 operator, and she asked me one peculiar question that almost made me lose it entirely. She said, is she breathing? Now, all the rest of the questions they asked me were fine, but when they asked me, is she breathing, it really put me in the reality check that, you know, I could lose my wife. And so she was breathing faintly, and they came. And so, long story short, they revived her. She'd come back. She was confused about the day. She knew who I was, didn't know who and where she was for a while. And they said, well, she's going. I said, no, you're not going nowhere now. I mean, you know, I was kind of blocked. I said, no, you got to stay here until she gets, you know, that, like, right. So they set her up and all of that stuff. And so by the grace of God, she came back around. But here's the thing to that testimony. Had I not been obedient to God, and had I stayed justifiably so, there's no way that my wife would have made it. So in short, I'm telling you, the process of reaching your destiny is to obey God and listen closely to the voice of God. You know it, and you hear it as well as you know the one that you love versus someone else on the phone on the other end. You know it. See, I can get a call from California or Germany, wherever the case may be, and know the voice that's on the other end. I have an intimate relationship with them. So when God speaks to you, so that, you know, people saying, well, how do I know the voice of God? If you have a relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God, when God speaks, you would know that voice versus the voice of the enemy. Hello, somebody. So you know the right thing. But it was just a horrific moment, and it was a moment of joy, and it was a moment of sadness. It was emotional, and to the point where your emotions start to override your intellect. You don't know what to do. So in those moments when you really don't know what to do, you have to call on the source that's in you, and that's the source of the Holy Spirit. So that's I'm giving you the end of the story before we get to the beginning. So here it goes. The process of reaching your destiny. you. Has to do mm-hmm. with you. Your destiny is that thing that happened or has to happen to a particular person or thing. Your destiny is inevitable. Whether it's going to be good or bad, we all have a destiny. I didn't say mm-hmm. destination. I said your destiny is inevitable. Let's look at 1 mm-hmm. Peter 12. And I'm just going to read 12 and perhaps a couple more verses, but I'm going to focus and concentrate on verse 12, 1 Peter 4 and 12. It says, "Beloved, I think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." Let me say it again. "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice." This is the part that we have to really. "But rejoice in so much that ye are partakers of Christ." In the midst of a mess, it's telling you to rejoice because you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, we may be glad also with exceeding joy. It's a matter of having something in you to be able to rejoice when something is pressing and holding you down. That's the moment that we find mm-hmm. ourselves right now. In these last and evil days, things are holding us down. We have a knee in our neck. We have things that are pressing upon us, and the Bible has the audacity to tell us to rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says over, not only here, he said, "This is the day that I have made." And I mean, this is at a funeral procession. You understand me? This is a time when people are sad and going through. And then it says, "Rejoice and be mm-hmm. glad." Boy, that's a strange thing to do. God, are you sure that I need to be happy about the sad thing that has happened in my life? Yes. In other words, there is something that God has for you, and your destiny has not been reached yet. So we have to do it with rejoicing. Let me give you another version. "Do not be surprised at finding that scorching flame of persecution is raging among you to put you to the test, as though some surprising thing were happening to you." In other words, it is not a surprise when we come against diverse, it should not be a surprise to you that you have to go through something if God has for your life. It's not a surprise that we're going to go through some pain. It's not a surprise that we have to go through some persecution. It is not a surprise that we're going to have to go through something as we serve the Almighty God. See, when we belong to God, losing is not an option, regardless of what the odds look like.
Mm-hmm.
When we belong to God, that's a big portion. Losing is not an option, regardless of what the odds look like. Do you remember Jehoshaphat? Do those who remember Jehoshaphat in Chronicles when the enemy was coming against him, and he says, "Oh, man, we in trouble, you know, now. I should have taken them out a long time ago, but now they outnumber us, and they're going to take us." That's looking at the odds. That's looking at the odds. And oftentimes, we continue to look at the things that we can see instead of focusing on the things we cannot see, which is faith, and having faith in our loins to know that God has got it under control. Amen. Mm-hmm. 3:5-7 says this. It said, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thy own understanding." That means, man, you can't do nothing about it. In all our ways, we have to acknowledge him, and then he's going to do what? He's going to direct our path. In other words, God got your six. He is right there all the time. He tells us so really clearly in the Word of God that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if God is right there with us all the time, boy, we're in a spot, regardless of what the odds look like, we got it going on. I mean, it's just in the Bible over and over and over. When Elijah was there with his servant, he told him, man, open your eyes. And he asked the Lord, can you open his eyes so he can see that what he sees is really not more around us, it's more with us than it is against us. God has to open our eyes so we can see that he is really working on our behalf. We just have too many blind Christians. Amen. So let me call on a couple of witnesses over these airways. Just a few, and then I'm going to be done. It's time out for being victims, and we have to grab onto this thing called victory. Even though we can't see it, we have to grab on to it. Let me start with this Saul Paul thing in Acts 9 and 6. When the Lord drops the anointing on you, see, when the Lord our God drops an anointing on you, this process of your destiny really begins. It starts to lock in, and it's going to be a great ride. But you're going to go through something. Be very careful who you think is not anointed by the hand of God. Let me say it again. Be very careful how you start judging people, seeing who they are, and you think that they're not part of the body of Christ. We often turn our noses up at people that don't look like us. We turn our noses at people up that don't smell like us. They don't praise God like us. They don't dress like us. But we don't know their destiny. See, Saul was like that. They didn't know. Ananias even questioned God. God, don't you know you're asking me to go lay hands on him? Don't you know who this is? This is the same guy that's been dragging people out of their homes by their hair and going through and going against you, God. Don't you know who this is? Should I really go lay hands on him? And see, we can't pick and choose who we bless. Oh, let me say it again, because we get a little quiet on the airway. We can't pick and choose who we bless because we don't have that anointing. We don't have that choice when God says to pray for somebody, even if they smell like, if they're alcoholic, if they're a heroin addict. We don't have a choice but to do what God has commissioned us to do because that's what we do.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, if you look in the Hall of Fame, if you look in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews, boy, some of you will be disappointed to say, Rahab the prostitute made it to the Hall of Fame? We know what she did for us. How in the world did she get in? Through the faithfulness that she had, and the trust and honor in God. I'm telling you, she is right there. So we got to be careful who we point out to believe is going to be part of the body of Christ, and those who we think that we can counsel out that is not. That is not our call. The call is to help people to reach their destiny. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Let me call another witness. Moses was that type, but his process was a little different. He had to go back to his hometown. He had to go back to his homies and then testify about the goodness of God. Anybody had to go back to your hometown after you've been converted, after you've now loved Jesus, they know what you were when you were there before. But now you go back to your hometown and you love the Lord and you're doing everything. I mean, family reunions are sometimes the best, but they can be the worst. Because you go home to celebrate, and they want to know what you are made of. When Moses went back, he had to tell them, say, man, I'm a changed man. I'm no longer who I used to be. As a matter of fact, I got a word for you. Who's the word coming from? It comes from I am that I am. What kind of name is that, and who is that? Tell me a little bit about it. And so you have to know something to introduce Jesus to someone that doesn't know anything about him. That word of the Most High God has got to be in you. Jesus, the merciful through God, dropped an anointing on Moses so Moses would know that he had to be God. See, we miss our but God moments. Everybody on the airway tonight has had a but God moment. You know in your spirit man and in your spirit woman that nobody could have fixed this for me but God. I don't know what it is, but it's a testimony in your spirit. Every last one that has an ear to hear what the Lord is saying tonight has a but God moment. Sometimes we think we're justified in doing the things that we want to do, but we have a but God moment that tells us not to do it through this wonderful Holy Spirit. And then once you are obedient to God, you can praise God like no other because you know nobody but God. You know, there's times when you want to give up. There's times when you want to not show up. There's times when you don't want to show out or you did show out. You want to just cuss somebody out. You want to do all of this. That has to be a but God moment. And that is the spirit of the living God living in you. And see, on the way to your destiny, watch, think it not strange that you come across so much stuff. Let me tell you, it's a great thing that God chooses you to go through stuff. Boy, it is a great thing. God, he must see some. He says, man, I'm never going to put more on you than you can bear. Does he say it in his word? Yes, he does. So when he sees it in you, he can see something in you that you cannot even see in yourself. And so he helps you test so you can gain power. Say, man, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could. But now you know you can because you have gotten through it. On the way on this journey, stand by because you know that you are going to be rejected. Rejection hurts us. Anybody on the line been rejected before?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Amen.
We go through rejection, and rejection produces pain. And that pain causes us to have that feeling where we don't want to go on to get to where God would have us to be because we don't want to go through any more pain.
Right.
So here comes the challenge. The challenge comes when the power of God rests in you. You have to be able to keep going even if it's family that tells you not to do it. Now we know the people that's closest to us are the ones that can hurt us the most. And normally it's the family. Moses ran across his own sister Miriam. Why did you marry that black woman? Why you got to have her around? Why you have to blah 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 blah? I shouldn't say black Nubian, but same thing. But why do you marry that woman? Why you got to have her around? Why? And then the Lord says, wait, hold on, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out of the tent. Come out of the tent. Let me talk to you a minute. I bless that, so you can't mess with what I bless. And she got all bent out of shape about it. Miriam did. And you're going to lash back at God. And the Lord told, put her out of the camp for a week. To you, by her. So the Lord knows. I'm telling you, when you have a destiny and you're on your way, stuff is going to get in your way. People are going to get in your way. Material things are going to get in your way. Temptation is going to get in your way. The process of your destiny may go across some rough stuff, but the Bible encourages you to stay the course, stay in the race. I can't believe how many times, even this week, people have testified on saying, man, I don't want to do it, or I could have done it, but I didn't do it. I have a choice to do it, but I'm not going to do it. And all these type things come across you. Every time I hear one, it rings a bell back to me on the testimony I gave at first. I'm thanking God that I heard his voice and did exactly like he said, even though it seemed like it was justifiable for me to stay overnight because my body was tired, my mind was tired. You know, it was just, oh, you'd be all right if you just stay. My wife even called me and told me to stay. But the power of the Most High God say, go home. And as a result of going home, my helpmate, my wife, my baby is still with me today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So, you know, I'm all in. I'm telling you, I've been all in, but I really pushed it all in. You know, you see this in the places where they're betting and they're going through and they're at the casinos or whatever you see on TV, and then they push everything in. I mean, that's where I am. I have pushed everything in to God. I'm all in. That's
mm-hmm.
all I know is to be all in. Amen. And I pray that at the end of this session, or end of this lesson, that you will push a lot of your chips straight into Jesus.
Amen.
Let me recall Paul back a little bit. That Paul went through something. Paul was a Roman soldier. He was a commander. And when he met his Damascus Road experience, he wasn't used to being treated unkindly because of his status.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't used to being knocked down off his horse and because of his status. He wasn't used to having someone to help him to get to one place to another because of his status. He wasn't accustomed to people speaking to him and talking to him and telling him what to do because of his status. See, sometimes our status takes us to a place where we think that we're higher than we ought to be, and we have to take it down a notch or two or three or four so God can deal with you. So God says, look, I'm going to have to take him down a few notches. I'm just going to put a little light on him. In the darkness that he is, I got to put a little light on him so he will understand that I am the light of the world. And it shines so bright that it just knocked him down, knocked him off his horse, and he became blind. And when you become blind, you really become helpless in a sense because you lose that sense of sight, that thing that you take for granted every morning that you wake up. And when your eyes are open, I'm telling you, it's a reason to praise God. Just because I can wake up and see. Well, I'm telling you, I'm learning to bless him. You know, the Bible says, you know, bless the Lord, you know, forevermore. Bless him every day. Bless him in your coming and your going. I'm learning every day that that's real.
Yes.
Thank God for all the things he does for you. And see, following the Lord can land you in some strange places. That's why when I evangelize and when I go out to disciple people, I dare to tell them that when you raise your hand or open your heart to God, that it's going to be an easy ride. It is not going to be an easy ride.
Mm-hmm.
We have to prepare them for battle. That's why it says in Ephesians 6, 13-18, you have to put on the full armor of God, and you have to know how to wear it. Hello, somebody. You can't put stuff in a wrong place and expect it to bless you. You can't put your helmet of salvation on your feet. Amen. Cover your brain. You have to be aware of what it is that God is giving you. Is anybody there?
Yeah.
So,
amen.
Once we get in the presence of God and learn how God is moving us and learn how God is telling us to dress up for him, some things are going to happen that's going to help us down the way. But don't think it's going to be an easy pass. We can't count it strange when we run across diverse temptation. We can't count it strange when we run into stuff. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm getting excited by myself. Here's the thing.
Here you go.
When a butterfly has to go through a metamorphosis, but he's a caterpillar for a while. You know, and as a caterpillar, in that caterpillar stage, his status is to crawl through the dung, to crawl through the spit, to crawl through all the mess that's on the ground that people throw away and do. And he has to crawl and crawl and crawl and crawl and crawl. Many of them make it, and many of them don't. Because people sometimes just step on them, cars run over them, they get in the wrong place, and they're just crushed in that stage. Amen. But there are some. Here we go. There are some that makes it to a limb and they cocoon. Here comes the story of the saints of God. We have to cocoon ourselves from sin to saint. We go through a metamorphosis. We go through a process. Hello, somebody. Mm-hmm. And so this caterpillar now is in a cocoon. And while he or she is there, they go through what's called a metamorphosis. They go through what is called a change in the life, a change in their character, a change in their persona. Amen. Mm-hmm. And while they're blooming, they develop into a butterfly. But don't break the cocoon yet. See, the thing is that some people try to break you before time. Let me explain why that is important. Because there shouldn't be anyone there that tries to open the cocoon for you. That's by the grace of God. And the thing that the caterpillar does when he start to develop and get his wings inside of that cocoon, he has to try to push, has to try to push so he can break the cocoon. You know what that pushing is doing? That's actually like lifting weight. It's developing his wings to give him power to be able to fly above the mess of the world. So it's like us going through our process. God develops us and sends us through tests at times. It is for our good because we have to push, we have to push, we have to push. Sometimes we have to pry. But once the gate opens, we come out of that cocoon and we take off to flight. And everybody now, the ones that didn't want us around, are the same ones that want to touch us because now we are a beautiful butterfly. We have all kind of colors. We have all kind of designs. It's just glory. Many people are not even afraid of butterflies, but they don't want to be around a caterpillar. It's the same thing, but it's a difference in who they are and what they have gone through. The process has taken them from beast to beauty. Amen. So
amen.
That's
amen.
Our
amen.
You know, sometimes we can stay long in the beast state. But God is trying to get you to cocoon. Sit down somewhere. Oh, Lord Jesus. Sit down. Relax for a few minutes. Stop running your mouth so much. Stop telling everybody about what the Bible says until you have the Bible on the inside of you. I mean, let it cocoon you for a while. Let God speak to you. You stop talking to everybody about God until God can put an anointing, drop an anointing. Oh, I know somebody is not liking Bishop Palmer now, but I got to drop this word there because we have to go through a process. We have to go through a process that God can bring us out as beautiful as a butterfly. But be careful.
Amen.
Be careful.
Amen.
Paul went through that. Ananias has opened his eyes. He can now see. He had 20/20 vision before and couldn't see nothing. Let me say it again. There are saints of God that have 20/20 vision and can't see a thing. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But the eye of the Lord, when you look through the view and the lens of God, the view changes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So make sure we make that change for God. Paul, when he came out, he was stoned. Good Lord, have mercy. 2 Corinthians 11:25, it talks about Paul being stoned because he stood up for the Lord. And then he was shipwrecked. Anybody ever been shipwrecked? You got to know what shipwreck is. That means you're really in bad shape. You have to depend on nothing but God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Ooh, bitten by serpent, once you get to the shore, You think you got it made, and then you're bitten by serpents. Many of us don't know the serpents that really are attacking us. We are afraid of the snakes on the ground when the real snake is sitting right beside you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. Okay.
Lord, scales are over your eyes, and you've been knocked to the ground, and God has got to remove them. Guess what God will do? He'll send somebody. Whew, that's why he got preachers and bishops and evangelists. Pastors and teachers, here, send somebody in a fivefold ministry to put a word in your life. Amen. And then your destiny will be faced. See, in your destiny, you're going to face some challenges, but it's not there to knock you down, but it's there to make you strong. I don't know how many times the Lord says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and encouraged. Strong in the Lord. Amen. So we can't be surprised. We can't be surprised because I'm here to tell you that loving the Lord and Christianity is not a smooth ride. Amen. It's not a smooth ride. Your own family gets upset when you get converted. What did you do that for? We was having more fun before you did that. Amen. We were doing this and we were doing that. Man, we was drinking. We was having a good time. We was going through that. We had all of that. Man, we had enough of the anointing. We had crown and royal. Oh, I know. That's a purple bag. I know that was going to get somebody up in there. Amen. We was having a lot of fun. Amen. So, you know, we had the name, but it's not in the name. It's in the nation. It's got to be in the nation. We can't go by the name. We can be called whatever it is we want to be called, but the nature really tells who we really are. How much time do I have? Just a little bit. And let me press on, because I got to get to this one. Don't quit. I mean, don't quit. When you go through it, Paul was in prison with Silas. Well, I love this one. I always like preaching this. This is one of my favorite preaching moments, son. He knows it too. But I love this one. When Paul and Silas were locked up, and sometimes people think they can lock you up and lock you down and put you away. They were in the inner jail, not just jail. Mm-hmm. They were in the inner jail. Amen. And they was done. And, you know, things, if you have been, I spent some time overseas, so I was able to go to certain countries and see what a real prison looked like. We don't have real prisons in these United States of America. We really don't. You know, they can watch TV and they can lay here and do that. I mean, you know, they're locked down and locked up. They're locked up, but they ain't locked down. I should say that. So these prisons are down in a hole where you get there and it's slimy around and it's cold and it ain't all that. You know, the lights go out. The only light you got is the light that comes in when the sun comes up. Amen. And it comes through a tiny hole that comes in and brightens up the whole place. And when it's a bad day outside, it's a Saturday, you got a bad day inside. Amen. But when it's bright and sunny, you get the light. But when that sun goes down, so does your light. Amen. And so you're there. It's cold, and it's just, I mean, this is in the summertime. It's cold, and it's just. So they were locked in the inner court. And God says, look, you got my boy. See, this is when we know that we got destiny on our life, that God has already given us the victory. God said, man, you got my boys down there. And I hear them down there praying, and one is over there praising. And Paul and Silas was praying, and the other one was singing unto the Lord and asking the Lord to come and come soon and rescue us. And you know what? We can move. This tells us that we can move God. Uh-oh. We can move God. We can move God through our praise.
Amen.
The Bible says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. He gets up, even if you can't stay in tune, Pastor Miles, he inhabits the praises of his people. You start praising God, I'm telling you what, God starts moving. When God starts rocking, see, my imagination just gets carried away from me. I believe that I can, I can praise God. Where he starts moving, he gets caught up in my praise because he inhabits the praise of his people. And when God starts rocking, things start happening. So I think Paul and Silas, in my Holy Ghost mind, made him rock enough, Bishop Storrs, that he rocked and created an earthquake. And when he created that earthquake, it started to break some things loose.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that there's some power in the earthquake. We all know, but God has power even over that. Amen. So we call on God, and then the chains start breaking. That's when we start praising God. We better take note of what Paul and Silas did. Amen. Because when you're in trouble, you're locked down, locked up, and locked in, God says, man, give me some praise. Lift your hands as high as you can. I know you're in chains, but lift your hands as high as you can and give me some praise. Amen. And he really can release all of that from you if we give God the glory and honor and praise that is really due him. I believe that with everything that I have, because I have experienced. experienced it over and over and over and over again, and I hope it continues. See, I believe truly that grace and mercy follows me all the days of my life. And what I really believe is that grace and mercy follows me and it follows you, and I think day by day that grace and mercy sends a report back to God. Sounds crazy. He had a great day. He had a great day. Guess who's standing right beside the Lord? Favor. And when we have a great day in the Lord says, favor, go out there. Take off. Go get them. And bless them real good. Amen. And favor's just waiting to go. Just waiting to go. So I'm telling you, your good days with God, the report back from grace and mercy that follows you all the days of your life and let you know that, man, I'm praising God today. I passed the test. I'm doing well, man. I'm getting straight. I got a straight A day. I got a 5.0 today. Amen. I had a graceful day in the Lord, and I know that favor is going to find your address. Let me get. I'm running out of. No. How much time? I'm
going. Got 8 minutes. You got 8 minutes, Dad. Go ahead. You got 8 minutes.
Let me get 8 minutes. So, see, Job was riding on the wave of joy. You know, he had it going on, but he had to go through a process. God loved him so much that he placed a hedge around Job. We know the story. And Job had no idea of what he was getting ready to go through, which was a process. He lost his riches. He lost his children. He got sick. Sickness came upon him. His friends were there trying to persuade him. His wife, his helpmate, said, man, look, I'm trying to encourage you, but why don't you just do what the adversary says and turn it loose? Job come up with one thing in Job 13 and 15. He said, though they slay me. That's what we have to come to. That's the process you go through. I know I'm going through a process and I'm going through a hard time, but God has been too good to me for me to turn my back on him now. God has been too good for me to bend into all of this stuff that's around me right now. I know that God is going to bless me. God is going to be right there with me. I don't care if racism is there. I don't care if the politics is upside down. I don't care what the economy is. God has been too good to me for me to let him go down. So though they slay me, yet I trust him. Oh, God, I'm touching somebody. God is doing something through the power of his might. The process is what we have to go through, and the process is what's going to bless us in reaching our destiny. Let me round it up for this 5 minutes with Joseph. Joseph was a 17-year-old kid. Listen, he was a dreamer. Many of us have been dreamers. He was favored by his father. He was hated by his brother. He had two dreams that caused him to be ostracized. Look at the process. Isolated by his own brothers, his own family, put on the hit list. Let's kill the Joker. I don't like what Dad is doing. I don't like the coat that he's got. Amen. He got a coat of many colors. We're going to put another color, and it's going to be red because we're going to put the blood on him to make his daddy think that he's dead. He was thrown into a pit, but he didn't know that that pit was going to lead him to a palace. But one of the brothers said, man, let's don't kill him. They sold him to the Ishmaelites, the strangers, at 17 years old. You know how frightening it could have and had to be. They lied on him, went back to his father and said, he's dead. Look at his coat. The animal then devoured it. But each time they did what they did for evil God, oh God, have mercy, Jesus.
Yes.
What they did for evil, God meant for his good. So I'm telling you, stop worrying about people that come against you. Stop. It's only to catapult you to your next level. Amen. Frightening as it was, they. He's dead, but he landed on his feet with Potiphar. But even then, look, sometimes you land on your feet only to be knocked down on your back again. Potiphar's wife, man, she said, he's a, oh, look at this. Oh, look what done happened here. Amen. And enticed him. Seduced him. Amen. She finally had him to the page where she tore off his coat, but she was embarrassed now that she had tried to get this young boy in bed. So she had to lie on him to save face with her husband. Her husband come back. He knew Oh, I know that Potiphar knew this. I can feel it in my spirit. He knew that his wife was some kind of woman. I don't think this is the first time it happened. Hello, somebody. So they threw Joseph in the prison. Look, he landed back. See, bad things come to us, but he landed right back on his feet. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was locked up, but he wasn't locked down. He was able to enter dreams for the baker and the butler. A promise was made to him. Man, when I get out of here, thanks for telling me about my dream. When I get out of here, I promise I'm going to remember you. And you know how people say they're going to remember you and don't. You know how friends say that they're going to do something for you and won't. You know how we go through the process of trusting in people and they hurt our feelings time after time after time. Amen. But God with favor, it fixed this falseness. Amen. But now it has been years. The Bible records that before this famine and all this stuff, as the famine comes into being, that it was 22 years since he had actually seen his brother. But the process is going on. Boy, this is where you have to tuck in Jeremiah 29 and 11. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to prosper you and not harm you." I mean, he wasn't harmed by none of it. Plans to give you hope and a future. Don't worry about going through difficult times. Let me say it again. Don't worry about going through difficult times. It's a process that God has for you.
Mm.
Just a process.
Amen.
Now watch Joseph. Now his brothers are coming to him. The dreams he had are coming to fruition. He has to do the right thing, even though it seems like he's justified in the flesh by doing the wrong thing because his brothers mistreated him so. But he has to do the right thing. It talks to us. This scripture is speaking volumes to you. Even though people do you, don't dip down to their level. Stay where God would have you to be. Take the high road in Christ Jesus and keep shooting for your destiny.
Amen.
Our destiny is determined by our character. Let me give you a quote.
Amen.
Let me give you this quote. It's choice, not chance, that determines your destiny. Everything needed. It's choice, not chance. Your destiny is not by chance. Amen. God God has got a plan for your life.
Yes.
Just don't make the wrong choices. Be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. So we can sow an act.
Amen.
We can sow and act. We can act like we know. And you'll reap a habit. If you keep sowing an act, you'll act like you save. You have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You act like you are somebody in Christ Jesus. You can sow an act, and it'll create a habit. And people to think you really something in Christ Jesus when you're not. Don't think higher of yourself than you act. When you sow a habit, you reap a character. When you sow a habit, a good one or a bad one, but when you sow a habit, you reap a character. And when you sow a character, you reap a destiny. Let your destiny.
Amen.
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 God. Amen. God bless you. I thank you so much for the time we had together tonight. I pray that all things were said, that your spirit was in agreement with it, and that God is going to do something to catapult you to the next level in him. Take the right path, I pray thee, in the name and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you would do what God would have you to do, to reach the destiny that God has for you. I know that you are on the right path. Just stay right there with God. Put yourself to test. I'm telling you, put yourself to test. And know that it is God who is speaking to you. In other words, make sure that your relationship with Christ is one of intimacy so you'll know and distinguish between him and the devil. The devil tries to be a ventriloquist, and he's trying to sound like God. But when you really know that it's God, you know who it is. See, Elder Clay and I talk every other week. And when we talk, I know it's him. I don't even have to look on this iPhone 11, whatever it is. I don't even have to look. His voice tells me that it's him. We've been together for so many years. His voice tells me that it's him. right off
That's
the
right.
bat. You see what I'm saying? And so I thank God that we have an intimate relationship. See, sometimes the wicked mind will cause you to think intimacy that's connected to something that is sexual. It is not. It is a relationship that you have with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's people that have been married mm-hmm. 30 years and haven't learned how to be intimate yet. Oh, help me some. Maybe that's for another time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
amen. Amen.
I thank God for what God has put in our path, and I pray that your destiny will be with the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much,
amen.
Elder Clay, Dr.
Amen.
Clay,
amen.
Dr. Suzanne, Bishop Stewart, Pastor Miles, Alethea Fiones, God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name, and everybody else that's on the airways, I thank God for giving me the time to share with you tonight. I'll pray that something was said that will push your spirit to serve the Lord in a more special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Back to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop Palmer. Thank you for, you know, that word, amen, the process of reaching your destiny, amen. And we thank you for knowing that we are going to have struggles, but we need to take the high road if we're going to reach our destiny. We thank you so much. And we pray that God will bless, you know, everything that you do with your church and everything that you're doing. Amen. I do appreciate, you know, you as well as the time that we have shared growing up. It has been a blessing to me, and I know that you have been a blessing as well to others who are on the line. We thank you so much. May God bless you. For everyone, please, we thank you for tuning in. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Can be.